Today, we are going to interview our co-host, Matt Manley, and are going to ask him a few questions about himself and how he got into the profession of dentistry. You are listening to The Smart Dental Student, your source for information regarding dental school and your professional journey, with your hosts, Matt Manley and Landon Guy. I'm going to open it up with, Matt, just tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us who Matt Manley is.
So, Matt Manley is a mess.
Agreed.
if you were to talk to my wife and kind of listen to how she would describe how I came to choose dentistry as a profession, she would probably say that it was a very chaotic and a very hazy journey, to say the least. I did not know that I wanted to be a dentist when I was coming out of high school. I actually graduated high school in 2003. And so I was kind of a product of post 9/11. The attack on the World Trade Center was very fresh in my mind. And so we had just committed troops to Afghanistan and Iraq. And at the time, I was looking to go to a military academy, try to get a free education through the military. And then I heard a lot about the Marines on the news and stuff like that. And up till that point, all I thought about Marines were they jumped on grenades. And I was like, that's stupid. I don't want to do that. But as I read more, I was like, you know, there's a lot of leadership training. There was a lot of, you know your Marines, look out for their welfare. There was a lot of put other people's interests ahead of your own kind of thing. And I thought for myself that I really needed that if I wanted to be the leader that I wanted to be in life. So for me, I thought, well, 17-year-old Matt, he's going to join the Marine Corps. So went, joined the Marine Corps. My parents made a deal with me that since I was 17, I couldn't sign on without their permission. So they said, you will go into the reserves and try that, or you can wait till you're 18 and go. And I thought, well, shoot, I'll just get boot camp out of the way. Signed on when I was 17, went to boot camp, and pretty much found myself in the reserves for the next 11 years. I meant to go active duty. I tried to go active duty a few times. I deployed to Iraq in 2007. And when I came back from Iraq, a good friend of mine that I had worked with doing some youth ministry out in the desert of California, he was like, hey, you should go to college and you should go to Southeastern in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And so when I got back from Iraq, that's what I did. Packed up, moved from Colorado out to North Carolina. And I thought, well, I guess I'm going to get a college degree now. And at the time, I was doing Christian studies and history. So it was called a history of ideas. It was a very philosophical.
Philosophical.
We read everything from Plato to Aristotle to, Dante's Inferno, Virgil, like just all these, liberal arts kind of.
How modern did that get? Did it get up to like
Kant? It got pretty modern. Yeah. We went through Kant. We went through, Sigmund Freud, I think right around that time was when I had met my wife, when I met Kelly, future wife. And so I
minored in Christian studies and history and majored in Kelly.
And majored in Kelly big time. You can tell when I started dating because my grades just went blam and just they bottomed out. And so I, when I met Kelly, and I was talking with her dad, one of the concerns that he had was, you're at this liberal arts school, you're studying Christian studies and history, which for me at the time, I thought, well, maybe I'll become a lawyer or maybe I'll become a history professor, because I would love that. However, it is very difficult to, at least from my perspective, it would have been very difficult to get into that space and provide for my family the way that I felt like I needed to. And my father-in-law said, well, at the time, the father of the girl I was dating was like, hey, so you should probably capitalize on the education that the Marine Corps gave you, which was in computers, IT, a lot of communication type stuff. So that's what I did. I switched my degree. I went and got a business management information systems degree, working full time. It was an online school, just kind of knocked out the degree. And I was doing pretty well for myself. My first job, as I was finishing up, I think I was making about $32,000 a year. And then as soon as I graduated college, I was making 64. It was like it doubled at the time. So I was very happy with that. And then I got into, the Army. I switched from the Marine Corps to the Army. I had, I'd always wanted to be an officer, but at the time I was very old and broken down by the Marine Corps. And so my body just would not tolerate going through Marine officer candidate school. And so I went through the Army officer candidate school, became an Army engineer officer, which to my chagrin was also very grueling on my body and very crushing. We did a lot of outdoor field training, and a lot of that was carrying about 110 pounds on your back with a rifle for miles and miles and miles. I think we rucked probably about 76 miles with 110 pounds on our backs.
Like, I can barely walk half a mile with my own weight.
It was pretty bad. And I cursed every day that I was doing that. I thought, well, I'm an officer now. This is pretty cool. I'm still in the reserves. So I wasn't active duty. And then I went and started working in pharmaceuticals as a software project manager, which was my degree. So I felt very fortunate to be able to work in a space where I was doing what I was trained to do, like what my actual, degree was, because I had a lot of friends who they couldn't do that, or they weren't in a capacity to be able to employ their degree.
And did you marry that girl from school?
I sure did. Okay. I sure did. Kelly and I got married April 2nd of 2011. We just celebrated our 10 years.
Yeah.
Yep. And very, very grateful for her and her support for me, because I would not be here. And I know that sounds very cliche, but quite literally, I would not be physically here had she not been the one supporting me, the one praying for me, carrying me through the really rough times. Cause there were a lot of hard times where being a project manager, like, you're the one responsible when stuff goes off the rails, even when it's not your fault. And so that was something I really didn't enjoy. I felt like a lot of things in that job, you would do your very best to be sure everything worked and something would go awry, and then you'd be responsible for why it's going wrong. And for me personally, I was like, you know, I want to be responsible for my own work. And these were all things I had to learn about myself, right? Like, they keep saying, and here at the dental school, like, know yourself, right? And you hear this in like leadership training, know yourself. So I took a very long path to know myself. And that time was spent really learning that I did not want to be a project manager in that industry for a very long time, because a lot of my friends were getting laid off in their 50s. And I was like, well, shoot, that's me in 20 years. Like, I've only got 20 years to make it or get laid off.
And I've got two kids to put through college, hopefully. Well, yes. Potentially.
Yep. That's right. And at the time it was like, well, we want to have a family and I need to figure this out. And it just so happened that I chose to pursue dentistry literally when my wife was 6 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty terrifying. I remember sitting there and talking to a good friend of mine and saying, dude, I think I want to go to dental school. And he was all supportive of me and mm-hmm. was like, yeah, I think that'd be great. I think you'd make a great dentist. But the thing that he appreciated this, but the thing that terrified me was, I'm going to tell my wife this and she knows that she is very well mm-hmm. with child mm-hmm. and we are about to go, you know, into a huge amount of debt going mm-hmm. through dental school. And you know, it just, our lives didn't feel like they were positioned mm-hmm. to take on dental school because I had to go back and do all the prereqs mm-hmm. again, because I didn't have any of the prereqs. I mean, I had statistics and math and English, but I didn't have all the other stuff.
All the sciences.
Yeah, I did not have all the sciences.
The beast of the science classes.
At all. And so for me, that was kind of how I came about. I knew that I wanted to do something mm-hmm. that would benefit my community. I knew that I wanted to work with my hands. I knew that I wanted to work closely with people. And it had to be something that wasn't going to work me more than I was already working, because I was working about 60, 70 hours a week. And jeez. I was like, I can't work. This is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. It's not what I want for my life. Mm-hmm. And so as I started looking, dentistry came up, and I never, never thought of myself as a dentist. And I, like you said, I went and shadowed some dentists in the local community. And I felt like, you know, it was a very routine day. There was nothing fancy about it. But I just very much appreciated the interaction with the patients. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed kind of seeing how the dentists worked with the people coming in. I really enjoyed, like you said, I always thought of dentistry as a very monotonous, very, mm-hmm. you know, you look at a tooth, you fix the tooth. You look at a tooth, you fix the tooth. You look at it. But the more I saw what dentistry was, I was like, wow, there's a lot mm-hmm. that goes into this.
And you look in, and as we are starting to get more clinical experience, we're mainly working with classmates now, but when you open up their mouths and you treat their mouths, you realize that every mouth is not the same.
Oh, yeah.
Every tooth is not the same. You look at a first molar in my mouth probably looks completely different than a first molar in your mouth. There's common themes, but
there's a lot of problem solving. And the thing I really, again, this kind of goes back to my interest in the Marine Corps. There's a lot of team leadership and mm-hmm. team problem solving, because you're approaching things not just, you know, by yourself, you're approaching it with the patient. You're approaching mm-hmm. it with your team, and you're trying to look really hard at how we can solve the problem, or it may not even be a problem, but how we can solve or how we can achieve the patient's goal. Mm-hmm. And so that for me was something that I was like, I always loved that as a project manager, you know, sitting down with my clients and being like, all right, what is it that you're looking for in this application, or what mm-hmm. are you looking for in this thing that we're going to be doing? And just kind of bringing everyone on board to achieve that common goal. So for me, that's kind of how I decided to pursue dentistry. And it was unclear, but as soon as it became clear, it was almost like a laser focus, but I was still terrified that mm-hmm. I was going to spend all this money on prereqs. I was going to quit my job, you know,
because that was the thing, the prereqs and, you know, quitting your job doesn't guarantee that you would get into school.
That's right. And I had people tell me, they're like, oh, you're going to be a great candidate. You know, you got all this life experience, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I hear you, but do the admissions committees agree? Mm-hmm. You know,
they're not the ones making your decision. It's the admissions committees making
that's right.
the decision.
do I look good enough in their eyes? I'm very thankful. And like you, I hired a tutor. We actually hired the same tutor.
Shout out to Patrick Vincent Pope.
Yes. Very outstanding tutor, for the DAT and just sciences in general. I knew that I needed handholding through the whole process. So I found a post-bac program at Meredith College. Great program. It was not easy, but I was able to take all the credits that I needed. They tailored everything to what I needed for my, for applying to, I made UNC my kind of my template of how I was going to apply. And
could you maybe describe for our listeners what that process kind of looked like of you finding the post-bac program? Like, how did you know that Meredith College was the right one for you to choose, if that makes sense?
So for me, location was a big thing. We lived right here in the kind of the suburbs of Raleigh, and I didn't want to move my family. I couldn't move my family to go to wherever this school was. I looked at NC State and other programs. To be honest, the first thing I did was email the admissions teams here at UNC and ECU. And I said, hey, this is me. I know I need to get these prerequisites. What would make me a good candidate? Like, what can I do? And so both ECU and UNC said, you can go to a post-bac program or you can do a master's. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I thought doing the undergraduate credits would be better just because I didn't have a foundation in the sciences. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like doing a master's in the sciences would be crushing. Mm-hmm. And so
I like swimming in the deep end without knowing how to swim.
Exactly. And I've done that in the Marines. It's not fun. So I felt like getting the undergraduate credits from a post-bac program would be better. And Meredith College just happened to offer that. And they were like 15 minutes from my house. So it was like, it fell into place just perfectly. And so I thought to myself, I remember I was still working and I found out, it's so strange. I found out about a scholarship for non-traditional students at NC State. Mm-hmm. And the application date deadline was the next day, like tomorrow was what it was. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I thought, well, let me see if I can apply for it and get it. And so I sat down, spent like an hour and a half putting everything that they needed for the packet together, overnighted it for like $26, got the scholarship. And so it almost paid for my bio one, right? So I'm doing bio one. Mm-hmm. Took it, finished it. I took my fourth exam in that class, like the exam before the final, on the day that Kelly was induced for labor with our first child. So I remember that being a kind of an intense day. And for the post-bac program, I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to just apply because apparently 200 people apply, but only 40 get in. And I was like, well, that'll be a good, you know, thing to see if I even can get into this. Mm-hmm. So threw my hat in the ring and got an email in December saying, yeah, you've been selected, you know, come on, join the cohort. And so I thankfully joined the cohort that summer and I took 40 credit hours in 1 year.
Oh my gosh.
And it was hard, but it was a good program. And the, again, everything was tailored to what I needed. So I told them, they said, what do you need? I said, I need these classes for UNC. And they said, awesome. And so they lined me up with everything I needed. They set my schedule up and I took it. It wasn't the cheapest, but it was, in my opinion, the least risky, most high yield in the sense that I'm going to get my money's worth out of this program. And then that's also when, for me with tutoring, I thought I need somebody who's going to ensure that I get a good DAT score, because because I am not smart and I don't know how to say. I thought the DAT, I was like, oh, I'm a Marine, you know, I'm tough, I know how to deal with, you know, stuff. And the DAT took me to the woodshed and learned me a lesson or two. And
the price of the test alone is not cheap.
The price alone is not cheap. The sitting for hours and hours doing mock tests in the library is just soul crushing. Mm-hmm. And
that'll make a grown man cry. Tutor
and being like, you know, oh, it did. Mm-hmm. It did. This grown man cried a lot. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to have to go back to work and have a bunch of prereqs and, you know, have all this money in debt for nothing, you know? And that kind of bothered me a little bit, but at the same time I was like, no, I don't care what dental school I get into. I'm going to get into a dental school.
Although it's a disturbing thought, it also could be motivation for you to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very big, motivation to be like, I can't let this fail. And I also applied to 15 dental schools. So I was like, I did my homework to figure out which schools I would be a good applicant to. Mm-hmm. But I just remember being like, I can't waste a year. And again, you know, that's not the case for everybody, right? Like, but given where I was in life, given the financial responsibility that I had, given that I had a family, for me, one more year not getting into dental school meant one more year of, you know, lost income, lost time, kind of moving the needle toward dentistry. And so I was very, very fortunate to get accepted into dental school and get in on my first go. But it was a very long and very hard go.
You definitely tell that by your story. You definitely have a unique story compared to even someone like me, because as I'm coming in as an undergrad, just knowing I wanted to be a dentist and then end up going to dental school. You hear that story all the time, but you know, situations like yours and stories like yours are pretty cool to hear. Just how you and I both are in the same place right now, but we got here with two completely different paths, but it's cool. All the lessons you've learned along the way. So in light of all that, taking all that into perspective, what kind of advice would you tell high school Matt? I'm kind of afraid to have met high school Matt. I can't imagine. What
he was like. I don't know if I would want to meet him. He's kind of a jerk. I think if I could go back in time, and it's really unfortunate. I don't know if it's unfortunate. It feels unfortunate, but I had so many friends tell me, Matt, be yourself and don't take things too seriously. Like just relax. And I still to this day struggle to do that, to be myself and to just relax. I had a gunnery sergeant when speaking of being thrown in the deep end, we were learning, combat water survival. And one of the things is they try to drown you while you're doing, you know, this water combat training. So you're in the water, the instructor grabs you around the neck, pulls you under the water. You're in 12 feet, you know, deep water. So you're not touching the bottom anywhere, but they've got you 6 feet underwater and you're trying to get loose.
And you have no leverage.
Yeah, absolutely no leverage. And it's terrifying. And the instructor pulled me aside and he's like, look, when you go down, relax, control your breathing, and think about what you need to do and do it. And I remember that's always been something that kind of hangs out in the back of my head, that just relax, think about what you need to do and do it. And, so I think if I could go back and talk to high school Matt, I would say, relax, be yourself. You know, I want to say you don't have to prove anything to anybody, but you kind of do. Mm-hmm. You have to prove, like, if you want to go to dental school, you kind of do have to prove yourself through the DAT, and you kind of do have to.
We got to prove to the admissions committee that you're worthy of
that. You can carry the load. And, but I think on a bigger picture, right? On a bigger picture, you as a person are bigger than dental school. Mm. You as a person are bigger than your studies. You're bigger than your degree. You're bigger than the things that quote unquote define you. Mm-hmm. You're bigger than that. Those are fractions of who you are. Mm-hmm. And so, being okay with and resting in who you are and not taking things too seriously. You don't want to be a goof and just, you know, shirk your responsibilities and stuff like that either. But you also don't want to be so serious that you drive yourself into despair. Mm. And I feel like that's where I found myself a lot, was I would take things so seriously and I would think that there's absolutely no hope, that I really, you know, messed up on something and there's no fixing it kind of thing.
And I feel like that's a mentality or a place that a lot of pre-dentals find themselves in. I know I was in that same position. You know, you're in a prerequisite class and you don't do well on an exam, then it feels like the earth just mm-hmm. shattered underneath your feet. Yeah. And you're like, there's no chance I get into dental school now. I remember that those moments crystal clear. Like, so know out there that you're not alone in this, mm-hmm. that just one test score, it's not going to prevent you from getting into dental school.
Yeah.
And don't let this identity of becoming a dentist shape all of who you are,
because it's just a fraction. Even being a dentist is a fraction of who you are. Mm-hmm. You're bigger than that.
Exactly.
That is what I would tell my high school self.
So what would you tell Matt pre-dental grinding for a year, now that you can look back on it, as they say, hindsight's 2020, what would you tell Matt in the midst of chaos in that 1 year?
I think I probably would have tried to take things, and I know I said just don't take things too seriously. I think I would have taken things maybe a little bit more seriously in my study. I feel like I did a good job. Mm-hmm. Like, I still studied pretty hard, but there were days when I just endured it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm showing up, I'm doing the homework, I don't care, I just want to get it done and over with and move on. Mm-hmm. And looking back, I kind of wish maybe I would have sunk my teeth into it a little bit more, enjoyed it, mm-hmm. that I think I would have enjoyed. So maybe that's my advice, is that I wish I would have enjoyed the prereqs a little bit more, that I would have mm-hmm. enjoyed cadaver lab, that I would have enjoyed and not just looked at it as, ugh, got to check the box, got to get mm-hmm. this done, you know, so I can get home. But I don't know. Also had a baby at home and, you know,
there's a lot of confounding variables.
There was a lot of confounding variables, but I think that's what I would say. That's the advice I would mm-hmm. say to myself, is, you know, enjoy where you are, mm-hmm. find ways to enjoy whatever you're doing as you're on your journey.
That's really good advice. Well, the last thing I'm going to ask you is, now that you are a seasoned veteran in dental school,
yes,
a strong, thriving D2, what would you tell yourself last year about either how to prepare for dental school or how to handle the load of dental school or just anything as it pertains to dental school?
If I could go back, I think I would probably try to understand how I respond under pressure, mm-hmm. like know how you respond under pressure and kind of safeguard yourself. Because one of the challenges I had was spending money. Mm. I found myself super stressed out and I found myself saying, well, you know what? I have earned it. I'm going to go buy this thing.
And or I'm going to start a podcast.
I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to spend money and buy podcast stuff. Yeah. And so that's what I did. I spent a lot of money buying things that I probably didn't. I know I didn't need a lot of it. I just wanted, or it was a nice to have, or I could have had a lesser valued thing and it'd just be fine. But I wanted the best, you know, I wanted, you know, and I'd sit there hours Googling, you know, what's the best this or what's the best that. So I think if I could go back and say, hey, know how you respond to stress and if you respond to stress by eating, that was another thing. I gained a massive amount of weight. And again, I know that was, a lot of that had to do with COVID. It affected everybody. I ate a lot and I spent a lot and, you know, you'd go home and you'd be like, well, I don't want to make dinner. I'm just going to order out, you know? And so kind of knowing what your coping mechanisms are, and setting safeguards so that, not so that you don't cope, right? Like some coping is healthy, but that you don't go off the rails.
And find healthier habits to cope.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if I would have, if I could go back in time, that's what I would have told my D1 self, is just know kind of how you're going to cope with things and, you know, maybe set up some parameters to be like, hey, yeah, you don't need that extra, you know, X amount of dollars spent on that thing. Kelly's going to kill you.
Well, that's some good stuff. Matt, thank you for your transparency, being open and honest. It was good to get to know more about you. And so this was our little episode about Matt, our co-host. We hope you enjoyed. You have been listening to The Smart Dental Student. The views, information, and opinions expressed during this recording are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent the organizations that the individuals are affiliated with. If you enjoyed the content of this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at Smart Dental Student or visit our website for more information at smartdentalstudent.com.